everybody, and thank you again for joining me. Another amazing, awesome, exciting episode of the Lion Boss Podcast. I'm Heather Gray, aka the Lion Boss. I'm a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner who works with fast-paced professionals to overcome their brain fog, their fatigue, their chronic widespread pain. Could it be Lyme disease? It wasn't my case. Today, we've got a really special episode. Like, I've been trying to find somebody for quite some time to talk on this very incredible cutting edge technology type conversation that I've been wanting to have for quite some time, because plant medicine has been played a huge part in my mental health journey and my healing journey. And then with a couple of the really cool documentaries that have been out lately, it's just really been in the forefront for me. And so I was so happy when Dr. Diva here decided to come aboard and talk with us all about psychedelics today. So welcome everybody, Dr. Diva. Woo-hoo.
Thanks, Heather, for having me on your show today.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about your background and, you know, why you do what you do. Like, how did you get into working with psychedelics?
Yeah, I'll try and keep the story as abbreviated as I can. I used to be an interventional pain management physician, and I went into practice about 9 months after I completed my fellowship. And it's typically unheard of. Usually you mentor someone or you kind of are employed by somebody for a few years before you go on your own. I saw an opportunity and I went for it. And I really worked really hard. I actually ended up having two different offices in two different states, along with the surgery center, 35 employees, and I built it from the ground up. And about 9 years into it, I was really burned out, and I ended up deciding to leave and exited my business. And then I just wanted some time off. I got married, and then at the end of that year, there were some issues with my health where I was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I was totally in the Western medicine mindset. I didn't have any understanding about nutrition because they don't teach you that in medical school, and didn't know what to do other than just listen to the doctors who wanted to start chemotherapy right away. I said, hold on a minute. No way. I'm 39 years old. There's no way we're doing this. And so I went through multiple practitioners, multiple second opinions, third opinions, if you will. And some people said that there was something that I could do called watch and wait. And even though it was stage 4, my blood work was healthy. I wasn't like struck by the cancer other than the diagnosis. So I did everything that I could. I researched the heck out of this. I started to look into more of integrative health and integrative nutrition. So I figured, maybe this is an opportunity to see if I can regress my own cancer. And so I tried really hard. I ate well. I wasn't working at the time, so I didn't have work to really bog me down. I moved up to the mountains. And so I just kind of got fresh air, exercised as much as I could, played a lot of golf, ate well, and just really relaxed. And unfortunately, 8 months later, it was something that was shocking to me, but my cancer had actually progressed instead of regressed. And it was at this time where, I kind of just threw in the towel and I kind of gave up. And so I had to go through chemotherapy. And I went through a long battle, about 5 or 6 months, 5 months of chemo. I went through some hardships personally, where my wife at the time decided to leave during chemo. And so I was basically alone. And after chemotherapy was all done and I got the A-OK that I'm in the clear and I'm in remission, I wrote this in my own personal book, that was probably the, that was where I hit rock bottom, was when I had actually was told that I went into remission. Why? It's because at that point, cancer was my identity. I also had lost my identity as a physician since I wasn't working anymore. I lost my identity as a husband because my wife had left. And I lost my identity just in general because I didn't know who I was anymore. So it was at this point where I just started to go through a period of like discovering who I was. And I went through a lot of, I also went through a fellowship at this time. I applied into Andy Weil's integrative medicine program, got in, and I started to use a lot of his tenets to help rehab me, mentally and emotionally and physically. And so that began my journey. I ended up moving to DC, and I got involved in this networking community. And a lot of these people were getting introduced into psychedelics. And so I had no idea what any of this was about. And I decided to, you know, three times it took for me to accept the invitation. And I decided to go ahead and partake.
So hold on real quick. If I may, going back, I mean, it sounded like your poor life became like a country song, right? You lost your dog, you lost your wife, you lost your job. But what a beautiful gift. A lot of times most of us can't see it when we're in the middle of it. Like, I'm in the middle of a divorce right now. And I know at times, like, it gets so dark and so lonely. And usually this is where the birth of something beautiful happens, right?
Yeah. And looking at it now, I mean, it was the best thing that's ever happened to me. I mean, it has shaped the person that I have become. So absolutely. You know, there is, you know, and that's the way we look at things. Like, we have to make sure that our mindsets are whatever we're going into, hardship or whatever. It's like the universe is giving this to us to learn something so that we can either teach others or that we can be a better person on the other side of it. So for me, it was during the time it was awful, and I wasn't a spiritually enlightened person at all, but I was about to, I mean, I was spiritual in the sense I grew up in a household of spiritual folks, and I went to temple. I was raised as a Hindu, but I didn't really, when I went to college, I just kind of like let that go. And so when I came time for me to do a psychedelic experience, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, didn't read. I just kind of did this out of obligation because I was asked three different times by this person, and I said, fine, I'll go. And I went in not having any expectations, and it was the scariest thing that I've ever gone through. And it was also the best thing that I've ever gone through. And
exactly,
it was a combination of MDMA and psilocybin.
Okay.
And I mean, if you read anything about psychedelics, it's all about set and setting. The setting wasn't optimal. I didn't know the facilitator. I didn't know the people that were in the same group, even though I was invited by somebody. I didn't really know them that well. I also had the mindset of just like, I was quite little anxious about going into it. And I was also despondent about in my own life because of what I just came out of, the cancer, a recent move to a new location, and then obviously the divorce. So that wasn't optimal. And in psychedelic work, those are the two things that fundamentally have to be present, set and setting. And so I went through my experience, and you know, it was just awful. I ended up being in this corner of the room just by myself, and no one attended to me. And I just felt, you know, like I was holding on to dear life. And I learned a lot, because the next morning we had an integration session where the facilitator and all the attendees got together in a circle, and we would just kind of like review our experience. And the facilitator was helping us to make sense of what we went through and make us understand what it is, the lessons that were given to us, and how we can integrate that into our daily life. That's the whole purpose of integration. And so I learned a lot about myself. She asked me some pertinent questions about if I have issues with control. I didn't think so at the time, but now I do. Now it was very evident that I did. She also like asked me, do you have problems asking for help? And I was like, yes. And she says, well, you know, those are two core things that came up in your experience, control and the lack of the ability to ask for help. And when I went through chemo, I didn't ask for any help. I kind of like shut everyone out, and I did everything on my own. So it was a core issue that I had that I didn't know about until it was brought to my attention during the psychedelic experience. What was even more interesting was the next morning when I was driving home. I was driving home on this street that had traffic lights, street signs, and buildings that I had seen a gazillion times. And I stopped at this traffic light, and I looked to the right of me, and I saw this building, and I was like, when did that paint on that side of that building go up? And then I looked on the other side, when was this crosswalk ever put onto the street? And then there was like different like things that I was seeing for the first time. And I was like, whoa, what's happening here? And then I was like, did I just float into a different dimension for the psychedelic experience? And what had actually happened that I'd realized is that I, in the first time in my life ever, was that I was out of my head and I was in the present moment. And that was a gift that I could never, ever appreciate, and so grateful for having that experience and understanding what it is to be in the present moment.
How it's crazy to think. So going back just a little bit. So like at first, when you said that your wife left you during chemo, like my head wanted to explode. And then when you said that you were left alone in that group to be by yourself in the corner, like my head wanted to explode. But really, you know, if we do have a trust, a belief in universe, you know, higher power, whatever that is to you, God, you know, really these were done in order for you to go through what you needed to go through and learn what you needed to learn, right? Because how else would you have gotten those lessons without that kind of abandonment, right? That's, you were abandoned both times.
For sure.
But you were left with yourself to really reflect and learn on these lessons. So again, like, it's amazing how from one perspective, you can be like, oh my God, how could they do that to you? And then in the other perspective, it's like, oh my God, look, you know, look at the gifts they gave to you, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's just so brilliant. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So that was, to me, was the big light bulb moment. And I was like, this is phenomenal. And then I started to explore more psychedelic work. I hired the facilitator to do a private ceremony with me a month later. We did 2 days back to back. And then
with what?
The same medicine, okay. MDMA and psilocybin. And then, I got more messages during that experience. I got the lessons of how we're all one, you know, we're everyone in this planet. We're all connected. We are all gods and goddesses. We are all one. We're all connected with the universe. And that was loud and clear to me. And I didn't understand any of it, but that was a message that came about through my experience with the facilitator. And it truly was an issue that I understood when she was telling me how that, in my mind, even though it for a few weeks I had this clarity in being present because there was no chatter in my mind, I always had negative thoughts. I was always hard on myself, and it was just an energy that I'd carry because of how I was raised in my household. It was always about do better, and it was grind, and there was never like a pat on your back or, you know, a good job or, you know, what happened to that A+ when you got an A, you know, kind of thing, you know, where was the other 2.2, the plus versus the, you know, you got an A. I'm like, that kind of the stuff that was in the household, it was never like I could do any better. So I learned a lot about the universe in that lesson when I did the private ceremony, in the sense that we're all connected. And so if I am saying negative thoughts to myself, in effect, I am actually conveying those negative thoughts to my brothers and sisters. And so at that point, it was like, wow, I didn't know I was doing that. It's like, it's an energy that you carry, and that energy is perceived by other people. And there have been studies on this. It's actually fascinating. But the point being is that, at that point, I made it a huge, huge shift in how I was thinking about myself. So,
it's funny that you bring that up. My ex-husband, that was one of the biggest gifts I got from him. When I was talking badly about myself out loud, he would stop me and go, stop talking to my wife like that. And it like literally stopped me in my tracks to think. I was like, wow, like that was so profound and so deep, but man, what a game changer that's made, right? Getting totally control over that alone. Like, and it's not like toxic positivity that you hear a lot about these days, but mindset really does make a huge difference in the frequency and the energy that we're putting out and getting back in life, right?
Yes. Absolutely. So yeah, all these were great initial lessons. And then the whole work, I mean, after that ceremony, I got really interested in wanting to pursue this type of healing modality for other people.
And so, actually, right before we get into that part, let's take a quick pause for commercial, and we'll be right back before we dig in deep on how you work with people and how people can find you and the kind of and why this stuff works, and especially for mental health and this type of, you know, type A personality things. So stay tuned.
All-in-one wellness for Lyme sufferers. Nikki plus Lyme is designed to overcome Lyme symptoms and support a better life following recovery. Nikki Plus Lime offers the most advanced bioenergetic science in an attractive watch size wearable. Lyme is the fastest growing vector-borne disease in the world, with over 500,000 cases diagnosed each year in North America alone. Nikki brings non-invasive, drug-free, and doctor-endorsed frequency technology to the symptoms of this debilitating chronic disease that defies traditional approaches to recovery. Nikki puts a personal wellness center in your hands and on your wrist. Be better. Do better. WeAreNikki.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Man, the first half, if you missed it, go back and listen. It was absolutely amazing listening to Dr. Deva's story on how he got into psychedelics. I knew there had to be a good story there. Like I said, most people just don't wake up one morning and go, I want to get into psychedelics. You know, there's usually a profound, you know, I've got my own story with psychedelics. That's part of the reason why I wanted to have, you know, bring this education and awareness. So thank you for joining us. And so Dr. Deva is getting ready to dive into how he works with this type of work, how he got involved in that, and, you know, what are some of the benefits and what kind of issues can this type of medicine help?
Yeah, so all good questions. So after my first private experience, I felt a calling to be able to facilitate this for other people. And as you know, there at that time, and it's still to the majority of the states in this country, it's illegal. It's still a class one medicine, whether it's MDMA or psilocybin. Most psychedelics are, except the exception of ketamine, are class one substances, meaning that they are deemed illegal and they are deemed as medicines that do not have any a benefit for individuals who consume them. And that's what a class one means, which we all know that's not true. So I went on this rampage of trying to find any facilitator that would facilitate experiences for me or would teach me. And that was just my goal. And so over a 2-year period of time, I had done over 100 experiences, and I had done anywhere from, I did psychedelics that included psilocybin, MDMA. I did ayahuasca. I did ketamine. I did 5-MeO-DMT. I did Wachuma, which is mescaline. So I did a lot of medicines in 2 years. And I'll explain what happens when you do a lot of medicines and without any proper integration. And so that's one of the downfalls of doing medicine. However, when done appropriately, it's a beautiful, beautiful experience. And so if you're wondering if you're listening to this and you're wondering if you're ready to actually partake in a psychedelic session, well, there are some prerequisites that I would recommend. And the prerequisites, first, there's much information that's on the internet, this podcast being one of them. There are several books. How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan is a fantastic book to read.
And the documentary was incredible too.
The Netflix series is the other one that I would recommend reading as well. It's a very good starter. Secondly, it's really important to have some sort of meditation or breathwork practice, as this is a practice that will help you through the psychedelic experience. This will help you to be comfortable internal, because most of the psychedelic experiences are you being internal within yourself. The other thing is that if you're able to master that, the next thing I'd recommend doing is getting into a float tank. Mm-hmm. Now, float tank is a sensory deprivation experience where you're floating in you're floating in water in a tank that's closed. And you're basically, again, like I said, it's sensory deprivation. You're in there in an hour or so, 45 minutes, an hour. You have all the autonomy to lift the lid up if you're claustrophobic. The beauty of this is that it simulates a psychedelic experience. A lot of people have had visions of things come through. You're alone with your thoughts, and you're just in this space where it feels like you're floating in outer space. So that will be the prerequisites if you're new and if you're wanting to go into experience a psychedelic medicine. Secondly, as I mentioned before, set and setting, it's really important. Set is the mindset that you go into. It's really important to have, you know, a week to 10 days where you are not around media. You're not around news. You're not around negativity. You're not on your phone checking out the Instagram reels or TikTok. These types of things get lodged into your subconscious, and psychedelics is a way of like seeing your subconscious, having it float into your conscious mind. And so if you're watching a horror movie, well, that those things that are in the horror movie will be present in your psychedelic experience. And it may not be the optimal thing that you want. And so it's really, and this is typically is known as a dieta. You're really cleaning out, you know, your entire energetic field of just of trash. And you want to feed your body and soul with good foods, or highly organic foods. You want to be, nutrition has to be on point. You want to be meditating. You want to be out in nature. Nature is the ultimate harmonic resonance that we want to tune into. And these are the types of things that are, would be highly recommended to go through for a psychedelic experience. Now, what medicines are the best to choose from? So there's several tiers of medicines. This is something that I was taught by my mentor, my teacher. And the bottom tier would be considered like medicines that include psilocybin, MDMA, ketamine, LSD, even cannabis. These are all medicines that are considered the very, very bottom base tier. So this is what I would recommend to choose from if you are choosing a medicine at all. Tier two would be something like your ayahuasca or mescaline, which would be San Pedro, or what's the other medicine is escaping me. It's another type of mescaline, peyote. These are all, so those are the mescalines are usually type of cactuses. You know, like San Pedro is a cactus, and they are typically medicines that have been used for generations and generations. You know, in Peru's where they've typically been found. Ayahuasca is another medicine that's from the jungle. And it's a brew that is a combination of two different medicines that are on opposite sides of the jungle, how they put them together and created this like highly like, hallucinogenic, brew was beyond me. There've been stories around it, but it's quite beautiful. And then the top tier is iboga, which is the bark of a tree that's typically in Africa, in Gabon, is where this is this bark of this tree. And then you have 5-MeO-DMT. So
say that last one again,
5-MeO-DMT. So this comes from the crystals of the saliva that's in the parotid gland of a toad.
Okay.
And so this is, so DMT is known as the God molecule. So DMT by itself cannot be ingested because the stomach acid will eat it all up, and so it's either mixed with something or it is smoked. And 5-MeO-DMT, or otherwise known as Bufo, because that's the name of the pod, Bufo Alvarez. And so this is a very, very intense experience, 15 to 20 minutes, but it is a rocket ship to source, universe, God.
And that's the next one I'm going to try. I've done ayahuasca before, thought I was going to die. I basically processed 41 years of mother trauma in one night, but obviously I didn't die, so it was a beautiful thing. And then I've done psilocybin. I've always wanted to try MDMA, though, and because I've heard it's just like a really gentle way of going in and looking at past trauma without actually having to relive it. Is that mm-hmm. your experience with that as well?
Yeah, it can be. To answer your question, so MDMA has been, MDMA and psilocybin are currently in phase 3 trials by the FDA. So they are on a fast track to be approved legally. MDMA has been pushed by a company or an organization called MAPS. It's the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Substances. And for 30 or 40 years, the CEO, Rick Doblin, has been pushing for MDMA for its approval. And they have done many, many studies around MDMA and its efficacy. And what it, the indication that it will be for is for PTSD. Mm-hmm. Much of the research around it has shown that people with just 1 to 2 doses of MDMA, along with a few months of psychotherapy, along with the psychedelic therapy, or the MDMA therapy rather, has actually caused the individuals to no longer carry the diagnosis of PTSD because they don't fit the conditions of PTSD any longer. So we're talking like 1 or 2 sessions of this versus, you know, and you know, people that are coming from abroad from war, people who have sexual trauma, domestic trauma. It's amazing how fast and how effective MDMA is. MDMA works by having the material that's buried in our subconscious being unlocked and travel into our conscious mind without having an emotional tag to it. So you're able to process it real time and not have the emotions that were once present. And then you're also able to close the loop on the trauma. When we have trauma, typically we don't process the entire loop of trauma, and it's stored into our body in a negative way. And so MDMA is great because it releases the trauma, allows us to relive it, but then reframe all of what had happened in a positive way, and therefore process and let go of the trauma.
What a gift. I when I watch these documentaries, like You Can Change Your Mind, or even Dosed that just came out not too long ago, there's a certain rage and just anger of how many people who are suffering needlessly for so long because these things have been outlawed, and also hope, because we are starting to change the conversation around this and what it can do for people. So eloquently and so within 2 doses, you said, like, holy cow, you know, people who've been suffering for their whole lives within 2 doses can get their lives back. Like, what a fucking blessing that is. Like, I vacillate between still being really, really angry at the fact that it's still so suppressed, but then holding hope that within the next, you know, 10 years that this really turns around.
Well, we're gonna see. I mean, as you may already aware, if not, we've seen a huge movement in legalization. So the state of Oregon
is legalized. I live in Colorado, so yeah.
Yeah, so Oregon has legalized most of psychedelics, and Colorado has legalized most of them too. I think Oregon has legalized them all, if I'm not mistaken. And I think Colorado has legalized a good majority of them. So yeah, and there's many municipalities across the country that have legalized or decriminalized. DC is where I'm at, so it's decriminalized for most psychedelics. And so we're seeing a huge movement in the positive direction for these therapies because they're so effective in terms of mitigating trauma and also mental health. It's a huge improvement for mental health versus your other options, which are an SSRI or talk therapy, which, you know, I'm not going to poo-poo all over that, but SSRIs, you know, the research is out there that, you know, what, 1 in 3 people who have an SSRI, it's not really working. And the downstream effects of this on the body after being on it for a long period of time is not good. So, and that's the other thing I need to discuss is that there are specific contraindications for psychedelics, and majority of them you are not able to utilize when on an SSRI or a antipsychotic because they just interact poorly, and including MDMA. So the only one that really is allowed to be used without having any issues is ketamine. And ketamine is one of my favorite medicines because it is extremely short acting. It does the job and it resets the brain. It resets the brain, the area called the default mode network, which is where the ego lies and that chatterbox lies. So this is what's reset by when ketamine and other psychedelics to a degree, but ketamine does a really good job of resetting this. And it's fast. I mean, the trip is, you know, anywhere from 20 minutes to 30 minutes. So if someone was to explore psychedelics for the first time, and they've done all the prerequisites, ketamine would be my recommendation to try first.
That's absolutely incredible. So you've told us a little bit about the benefits that you received. Can you tell us, you know, obviously no names, but what are some of the cooler stories you've had happen with working with people? You know, can you give us a little example of what?
Yeah, I had a client who had 20 years of a trauma that happened to her in college. And she was put on an SSRI all this time for 20 years. So she was very restricted in terms of what she could receive because she can't receive psychedelics except for ketamine because there's a direct contraindication and interaction. So she was determined, and I was able to wean her off her SSRI and give her some other supplements to help with her issues of depression and anxiety. So we did a couple of sessions. We did one session and she was able to see her trauma and reframe a lot of the trauma that had occurred to her. It was still quite scary for her to experience all of it in real time, but she was able to definitely reframe it all. We did another experience, which was ketamine, I believe, a couple of ketamine. And then she was able to, because she was weaning off of the antidepressant, that caused a lot of issues. And for purposes of, I want to talk about that for just a second. When we wean off of antidepressants, you're on it for a long time, it suppresses all emotions, the good and the bad. So all the emotions that you haven't processed are buried. And so when you come off of it, all of this stuff just starts to come up. And so, yeah, she had a lot of stuff that she never processed and then was buried. So we had to really process it real time. And then also give her ketamine to help like reset her brain and to calm her down. And so that was so helpful for her. I would say we also changed her diet around because we figured out that her diet was also contributing to her anxiety by allergic reactions. So between a curtailing the culprit foods that was causing her issues and then addressing her emotional issues and then addressing her trauma, were able to mitigate a lot of her mental health issues to the point where she, for the last 2 years, she had a complete change of her life. She got a new job, new boyfriend, and is living a very, very happy and healthy life.
I have been fighting tears this whole conversation because I'm just, like I said, it's just so moving. Having my own issues with mental health, you know, 2 cents in the psych ward for suicide attempts, pretty common for people with chronic Lyme disease, you know, and then the early childhood trauma that I had, like this topic, like I said, it just is so near and dear to my heart because so many years of my life had been taken away from being reactive and being in the passenger seat, right? While trauma was in the driver's seat, and to be able to give power back to people in their life, like it's just such a gift.
It really is. And to see lots of people who do so well and live a new life. And I do want to mention, and I alluded to this at the beginning, that psychedelics are extremely powerful. And it, again, we need to be able to vet the facilitator, vet the people that are going to be in the setting. But it's highly, highly, highly recommended to also be sure that you integrate. The experience is 25% is the medicine. You know, there's three phases: the preparatory phase, the actual experience with the medicine, and the integration. Integration is 75 to 80% of this whole process. If you don't integrate the information that was given to you through the psychedelic experience, then you're not doing yourself, you know, any good. You know, it's really about integrating that into your daily life before chasing another experience. And that's what happened to me, is I kept chasing the medicine because I felt so good. And it was another escape for me. And so with my addictive personality, I used to be a binge drinker. I was a gambler. And so it was the next thing. It was like, holy crap, I feel so amazing. And so for 2 years, I did all the psychedelic work. This is before I even began facilitating. I was still learning about the medicine. And then it all came down and it crushed me. And the reason being is that what happens is, is that when we expand our consciousness through this psychedelic experience, we are more perceptible to different emotions and triggers and whatever is happening in the collective consciousness. Our intuition is way heightened. And if you read anything about Aldous Huxley in The Doors of Perception, he talks about this filter that we have. It's called a reducing valve. And when we have this reducing valve, it only filters specific bits of information. We're exposed to like 400 billion bits of information per second, and we only take in like 2,000. So when this reducing valve opens up, more and more information is coming through. And if you're not ready for it, you're setting yourself to be, you know, in a more anxious state, because you're just able to perceive so much more than you did, and your body isn't ready for it. And so for the last 2 years, I haven't done any medicine because I've been integrating. And it's been really, really, really challenging because I've been going through my own emotional transformations, all positive, because it's like my body's catching up with my soul, because I had done this major expansion in my consciousness. And now it's like the rest of my being has to catch up. So that's the caveat of doing too much of psychedelics.
So what does a proper integration look like? Because now that I'm thinking back on my experiences, I'm not sure I had much of an integration. I'm curious. What does a proper integration look like?
Well, it's, you know, first you definitely have to spend some time learning and integrating these experiences into your daily life. So if I got the message that, you know, I need to be more present, or I need to be more grateful. My first psychedelic experience, it was about control. I had to relinquish control, and I had to learn to ask for help. It's very hard when I was living a life for 40 years like that. So you have to integrate that and practice that before, and you go into your next experience. If you go into another experience, your consciousness expands, and you get more messages, and you haven't even integrated the first set, you're not doing yourself any good in terms of like expanding your vibrational energy and your frequency, as well as your consciousness. So it's, you know, it feels good because you're like, oh, I feel so great, my heart's open. But that's no different from going to a bar and throwing down 10 drinks. You know, you feel great, your heart's open. So it's really important to understand, you know, the benefits, but then also the not to do's. You know, there's a to do list and a not to do list, and it's important to understand the not to do. And not many people talk about that because they haven't experienced it, or they haven't come across it. But I have. I'm experiencing it now. I'm still an advocate for the work, but I'm also making sure that people understand not to chase the medicine.
That's absolutely fascinating. So what are some of the types of folks that you work with? Like, what do people come in wanting help with?
I mean, most people come in for various issues, mental health. A lot of it is they're anxious, they have depression. People have PTSD, people have ancestral trauma that they're trying to heal. It's a mix of the bag. I don't necessarily say no. I mean, it just whatever comes through and whoever is interested in at that time. A lot of it is me screening them and making sure that we're the right fit, and that they're not taking medications that could be detrimental to the experience. So that's a large part of it, especially when people are depressed and anxious, they're already on taking stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That can be tough. So is there any lasting thoughts that you'd like to leave us with? And then I'd love for you to tell our audience like how they can find out more about you, where they can find you.
Yeah, I would highly recommend reading those that Michael Pollan's book, checking out his Netflix series. You know, I have a podcast, From Doctor to Patient. I also have a book that I released about 3 years ago. It's called From Doctor to Patient, Healing Cancer Through Mind, Body, and Spirit. It's a Wall Street Journal bestseller, and the last quarter of the book is how my life has changed through the work of psychedelics.
That is absolutely incredible. I'm just so excited. Thank you so much. Grateful for having you come on, share your story, completely vulnerable and honest, like transparent. That was beautiful. And then, they can find your book, they can find your podcast. And then if they wanted to work with you, how does that look like?
Yeah. So my website, divanagula.com. There's a bunch of services that I offer on there, and, feel free to shoot me an email and, we could, get on a call together and see if it's a fit.
That sounds incredible. Thank you again, everybody. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe, right? Because that's how this information gets out there, is by you pushing it out there, sending it with your friends. Who needs to hear this today, right? So again, thank you, and everyone, have a healthy day. Make sure to like, subscribe, and share this episode. Even if you found one little piece of inspiring nugget in it, this is how we change people's lives. This is how people get better. This is how people get hope. So please make sure that you are liking, sharing, and subscribing. Stay tuned for the next episode. You're not going to want to miss it. And while you're at it, head to my website, thelimeboss.com, and make sure you download your free video series, Real Cooking for Real Life. Learn amazing, delicious meals in 20 minutes or less. Learn why and how we cook certain things that are toxin-free, free of contaminants, and how to get a delicious, healthy meal under 20 minutes. You're not going to want to miss out. That's thelimeboss.com.